Perhaps we'll give it. We'll do one more song after the message that gives you a little flavor too of another type of Spanish flamenco rhythm. I always used to teach over the years, you know, because we trained over the years too. We've trained a lot of talented young people, and we always used to try to plant a vision in these young musicians, you know, who are gifted, to say, "Don't you want to be a musicianary? You want to be a musicianary, don't you?" It's like, yeah, that means that you're going to use the gifts God's given you to cross culture and bring the gospel wherever you go. Yes. And so we had this, I don't know if anybody else uses the term musicianary, but it means a lot. And it means a lot to me as a songwriter that, you know, a few years ago we got to know a flamenco guitarist who's a Christian, a believer, a wonderful brother, professional flamenco musician. And we had a chance to collaborate with him in one of these choir events. And we thought, and he got a hold of, started listening to some of my songs and said, "Eugenio," which is my name in Spanish, "Eugenio, you have flamenco in your music." I said, "I do." You know, "Really? Show me." And he would come by and bring his guitar and pull it out, and "I want to hear more. And he said, "Well, that has this rhythm," because all the rhythms have like different names. And so I've been on this learning curve with him. And he said, "You need to record. Eugenio, you need to record these songs. I'll help you." And he actually was the one playing flamenco guitar on that you just heard. Yes. So that gives me great joy to know, wow, God, even before we actually made the official move to live there, he started giving me some of the sounds of that land. And there's even more. And you can listen to my recording on the social media, the digital platforms that I... So talk to these young people. They'll help direct you if you need to know how to find it. But it's out there now, so you can go listen to it. And you'll hear bilingual, and you hear also some of the Spanish rhythms mixed in the fusion of styles. Great. I would like to ask a question. You know, I'm now at the age where I can say like David did, "I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken." Now I can actually say that because I'm getting older. And but is it transformation? Is it possible? You know, I would say about pastoring and church planting in Spain, pastoring and church planting is difficult no matter where you are. But in Spain, the land of the Inquisition, I would say it's brutal. It's brutal. And so there were areas that in my own life in the last year, you know, pouring out and giving our all to see a healthy local church established in our community that really didn't, never had one in our particular town, never had an evangelical church like this. So you're pioneering and you're giving your all, and it nearly burnt me out, you know, it just nearly wore me out. But the Lord said, "That's Eugenio, that's because there's some areas I want to go deeper. I need to heal in you. I need to go deeper in you." But he was speaking these things to me when I was in my, you know, mid-50s. You know, like, is it possible that... And the Lord, I met the Lord at 19 years old when I was a university student in New York. And God did a tremendous work of transformation in me. Yeah, and through the years, that sanctification worked. But God was saying, "I need to go deeper." But is it possible that the old habits can still change at this season of life? It's possible. I had... One time a pastor told me, "You know, Eugene, you're at this point in your life, and many people just resign and live at that stage for the rest of their life, you know. They'll just kind of live at that lid, with that lid." I said, "I don't want that. If there's more freedom, I want to live in it." And therefore, God has to... You know, in order to create more space here, he's got to create more space here and dig deeper. in my life. So this transformation, I want to start with the scripture that's very familiar probably to us in 2 Corinthians 3, especially because you're in a series on 2 Corinthians, he tells me. 2 Corinthians 3:16 says, but whenever anyone, I'm reading from the NIV version here, if that matters, but whenever anyone, who's this for then? Anyone. Okay, are you with me? Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, say that, we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory. It says in this version, or from glory to glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So this speaks, this verse is the key to transformation, because the word of being transformed there is the same word where we get metamorphosis. So we're talking about a change of nature. We're not just talking about, you know, a reconstruction of something that, no, we're talking about a different nature being created. But is there a veil that needs removing? That's the big question here, because it says, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So there seems to be a veil that needs to be taken away. Okay? But then it goes on, how does that happen? Well, you just turn to the Lord. It's pretty simple. Turn to the Lord and the veil is taken away. He takes care of that. He removes the limiter. What's preventing us from seeing God's glory at work? From seeing God's glory in our own life. From seeing God's glory manifested through the life of other people. See, we've got a veil preventing us from seeing this. But it's only when we turn to the Lord that God removes that veil and we can actually see God's glory. God at work. I can see God at work in the life of another person in my own life. The veil is removed. Hallelujah. Only an encounter with God can bring that kind of change. Mm-hmm. And a very, very, very dear brother to us, you know, Joel talks about, you know, our teachers and the people that have played an important role in our life. This is one of the pastors of our church in Portland who passed away years ago of ALS. It was a terrible loss. He was such a wonderful man of God. And actually, we could honestly say that we wouldn't have been launched as we were to Spain as missionaries from our church if it wasn't for the influence of this man. His name was Jack, Pastor Jack. When he'd come and visit the Hispanic service that we had in our church, they'd call him Pastor Hack. Pastor Hack. But anyway, he would talk about the need for an encounter with God. And an encounter with God has three different aspects. And you need all of it. You need a power encounter, first of all, a power encounter. An encounter with Jesus is a power encounter. But it's also a truth encounter, and it's also a love encounter. It's all three of these, but if you have an encounter with Jesus that includes all three of these, what you have also is transformation. You can't stay the same. You won't stay the same. If you have this kind of encounter with Jesus, somebody's changing, and it's not Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So guess who's changing? You. But you need an encounter, a fresh encounter. This speaks of present. This speaks of now. Mm-hmm. Speaks of now. We need a power encounter. First of all, I'll talk about the power encounter. It's the intervention of God. It's God's intervention in our situation. And the kingdom of God is not just in word, but power. Jesus tells his disciples, stay in Jerusalem until you receive what? Power from on high. Power to become a witness. Not power to do witnessing. It's not power to do. It's power to be something for God. You need this power. And actually, who you are is going to minister much more than what you do. Always. That's the case in the kingdom of God. It's who you are. You will reproduce after your own kind. Whether you want to or not, whether you know it or not, it just will happen. If you've got that kind of power from God. So examine your own life. Is there a veil preventing you from seeing where you might need this kind of power encounter in your life? Can you recognize an area that needs God's transforming power in your life? If you have difficulty discerning and finding one, and you're a husband, just ask your wife. She will give it to you. She will tell you exactly what needs transforming. If you're a teenager here, you know, just ask your parents. They'll tell you. They'll open your eyes a little bit if the veil is kind of covering. Or parents, just ask your children. They'll tell you. They'll give you a long list of what needs transforming, huh? If you need help, okay? We need a power encounter, right? Are we in agreement? But we also need a truth encounter. In this day and age where it's like other days and ages, I suppose, because Pilate said, what is truth? We live in a society that is like, what is truth? It's enough to make you vomit. But I want to say, in the kingdom of God, truth is important. Truth is the path to your freedom. Because Jesus said, you will know what? The truth, and the truth will make you free. So that tells me that that's your path toward freedom. So is truth important? Well, you want to be free? If you would want to remain bound and not free, then it's not important. But I want to tell you it is important, no matter what they tell you. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. The Word of God is the truth. We need a truth encounter as well. And that's the power to change our form of thinking, which will change our way of living. We need a truth encounter. We need a power encounter. We need a truth encounter with Jesus. And we also need a love encounter. God is love. God is love. His love is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. His love is unconditional. His love transforms us from the inside out. So we need an encounter with Jesus today, yes, that includes a power encounter, a truth encounter, and a love encounter. With these three things working together in our lives on a continual basis, I'm convinced we will see changes. The Bible calls that glory to glory. We'll see. It'll keep going until we're out of this world and we're face to face with the Lord. We are to continually be changed and transformed. Amen? Amen. Okay, I want to go to a passage in John's Gospel chapter 5. John's Gospel chapter 5, the first few verses talk about Jesus' encounter with the paralytic man in Bethesda. I want to look at this a little bit. The scripture says, Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five colored colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. Verse 5, one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. Is somebody here 38 years old? Yes? Exactly 38? Are you exactly 38? Okay. For as long, I can't see you exactly with the... Jess, as long as Jess has been alive, this, can you imagine that long this man has been in this condition? Okay? Just to give it a little. I felt I was supposed to ask that today. Is somebody here 38? We have children that like are just around 38, both of them. Our daughter's about to turn 40 and our son's 37. Is that great? He just turned 37. So we're right in there. You could be our daughter. Okay. It looks like you might be redhead. Is that right? Only to... I see. Never mind. Let's get back to the message. I don't have much more time, and we got to get to the point. Okay. Going on. 38 years in this condition. Verse 6. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" We'll come back to that question. Verse 7, "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. Uh-oh, religious spirit. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "Oh, we're so glad you're healed. For 38 years we've been walking by you and stumbling over you. You've been in our way, and now you're healed. Now you don't, you know, you can go on with your..." No, they didn't say that, actually. I would like to think they would have said that. But instead they said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "Well, the man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" Wow, Jesus. He was the one who intentionally set that up. We'll come back. The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." And the man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. It's a great passage of scripture. So imagine this place, right? A great number of people, it says. One version says a multitude of people were there. What type of people? Blind people. We're not just talking about people with a veil. We're talking about people blind. Huh? Hard to see. Can we relate to that? Can anybody here? Is anybody here having a hard time seeing something? I just can't see it. Brother, I just can't see it. That's right. Maybe you're blind to something. Or we all have blind spots. Huh? That's why you need to ask your wife. That's why. Yeah. Who else was there? The lame. The lame. Those who have difficulty walking or getting from one place to another. Now, my wife was talking a little bit about her condition, which we're not quite sure what's going on in her body, but it has caused us on this long trip and flights to ask for assistance, which actually turned out to be such a blessing, I want to tell you. Why? Because we never made it through the Newark Customs line, Newark Airport Customs line, as fast as we did. We were escorted. I felt like we are VIPs. Everywhere we go, they're parting ways, and we come. I mean, we were just escorted. I went out of my zone. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Difficulty walking. Can anybody relate to that? It's a little difficult for you to get from one place to another, whether that's physical, whether that's figurative, or paralyzed. Ooh, paralyzed is even, that's a dysfunctional condition. That means there's ways that God, your creator, has created you to function that are out of line and don't function the way God, the creator, intended. Can anybody relate to that? Oh, there's areas of my life I can relate still that are paralyzed or dysfunctional. These are the things the Lord has been examining more closely in recent years, helping me to see. Go way back to my family of origin. Okay, let's see again verse 5. Verse 5, one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. Verse 6, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he'd been in this condition for a long time, he asked him a question. Why was this question asked? Was this necessary? What was the question? Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Well, I mean, it seems like a redundant question or an unnecessary question, but Jesus is really wise. He asks a very wise question. Why? Because if this man would be healed, he would, after 38 years, have to take responsibility for his own walk, his own life. So that was an important question. Do you want this? Because 38 years is a long time to live in a certain condition. And all that was about to change if he would be healed. You following? Because it's very easy to blame others for your situation. It's so easy. That's what he did. When Jesus said, do you want to be healed? What did he do? Well, I have no one. It's because I have no one. They've abandoned me. I don't have the help I need. When the water's stirred, I'm trying to get in, somebody else gets in it. See, it's easy to blame others and not take responsibility for our own situation. But that would change with a touch from Jesus. With an encounter with Jesus, this is about to change, folks. Hallelujah. Verse 8, Jesus said to him, get up. Get up. Get up. Because faith requires action. You have to at least take a step in the right direction. You have to do something to move that you haven't done before. But I have no one to help me. Jesus said, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Oh, that was Jesus going a step further, creating a little bit of controversy, which he tended to do, especially dealing with those religious leaders. Oh, he was controversial. Because the day this took place, it was a Sabbath. And of course, the law forbid the laws, so many laws they had about Sabbath. He couldn't carry his mat, and Jesus told him to do that. Wow. He was attacked by a religious spirit. You know, there may be some people here who have experienced the attack of a religious spirit. I want to tell you, it's diabolical to be judged wrongly for your obedience to Christ. It's painful. Very painful. Can be very, very painful. We were with a couple in Naples, Italy that have just experienced some of that. And part of our purpose in being there recently was just to be their friends and encourage them. And there's healing for that. If that's been your experience, I want to tell you, you can get, don't just say, well, this happened. Get beyond it. Take a step, and Jesus will meet you. Because I want to show you, we see, okay, in this encounter this man is having with Jesus, we see the power encounter, right? He was healed after 38 years. He was healed. That is power of God demonstrated. That's power encounter. Huh? Now we see love encounter. Why? Because after this man was so brutally rejected by the religious leaders and experienced what he did as they were after him and the intimidation, whatever method they used, they were after him, right? Jesus, verse 14, later, Jesus found him. Guess what? That means Jesus went to look for him. That's what that means. Jesus went out of his way to go find him and said to him, "See, you are well again." That was the love encounter that he experienced from Jesus. Jesus understood his pain and the pain he just experienced of rejection. And he went and found him. But here comes the truth encounter, it works together, folks. It works together. You need all of it. The truth encounter. "Stop sinning," he tells the man. "Stop sinning." Ooh. So this, just the love. Can you imagine the love as Jesus comes? I'm sure the expression on his face was not angry. He was looking for the man. He just healed him. He was loving him, but he looks him straight in the eye and says, "Stop sinning." Here comes truth encounter, working with the love encounter. It's both. You need it working together, huh? It's a truth encounter. Why? He starts saying, "Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." He's thinking about this man's future. He's thinking about the rest of his life. And Jesus is warning him and saying, sin is not something you play with. Sin has destructive power. And far worse things can happen to you because of sin that can open the door in your life to far worse things than you have already experienced. Jesus loved him enough to tell him the truth. I love this. I love this. This is Jesus. Having an encounter with one person, huh? We need an encounter with Jesus. Amen? We need an encounter with Jesus. And how are we doing on time? Wrapping up. We're wrapping up, and we're going to continue this afternoon wherever we are. The decision is yet to be made. But wherever we are, Jesus will be there. And we will have an encounter. I want you to come expecting that we're going to have an encounter. That's power, love, and truth all combined. And maybe combined with some nice music as well. It just will really help to get the medicine down. Yeah. Okay. But I have to, because this message is entitled Encounter, because it's just an example of one encounter with Christ of this man, right? But it comes also from the song. There's a song of mine that also has a different Spanish twist to it. And let me sing that to close, okay? Let me sing that, and I'll sing it to you in English now, but tonight I'm going to throw some Spanish in. I'm warning you, okay? Tonight you're gonna hear a little Spanish mixed in, okay? Because I don't regularly sing it in English, I need to have these words in front of me. Okay. But it's going to sound, the music is going to sound Spanish. Here we go. You ready for an encounter? Life-transforming encounter with Jesus. It's a power encounter, a truth encounter, and a love encounter. Okay. Fill me, Lord, I need a fresh encounter, an encounter with your power, the power of your blessing. Oh, Lord, I need you now. I call upon your name, I'll never be the same.
Come Holy Ghost, fill me now. I need a fresh encounter, an encounter with your truth. True liberty and freedom, it can only come from you. I call upon your name, I'll never be the same. Come Holy Ghost, oh, fill me anew. Come Holy Spirit, waiting on you. Oh, come let the river flow. Fill me, Lord. Fill me now.
Because God is interested in the now. It's a present encounter. We need a present encounter.
Fill me, Lord. I need a fresh encounter. An encounter with your love.
Love that stretches to the heavens. Love that gave his only son.
I call upon your name, and I'll never be the same. Oh, come Holy Ghost, fill me, Lord. Come Holy Spirit, waiting on you. Oh, come let the river flow. Fill me now. Fill me anew. Come Holy Spirit, I'm waiting on you. Oh, come let the river flow. Fill me, Lord, fill me now. Fill me, Lord, fill me now. Fill me, Lord, fill me now.
Can you say that to the Lord?
Oh, fill me now.
Just say it now. Okay, be praying for tonight. Be praying for tonight. And we hope to see you all there, and whoever's watching from wherever they're watching, hope to see you there. Okay, God bless.